Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
We marveled at our own magnificence as we gave birth to AI.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm afraid I can't do that.
It's alive! It's alive!
AI on Lunchtime Live.
You're welcome back to News Talk's Lunchtime Live. Now, it seems like every time you open the paper or even just listening to any podcast on radio, all you hear about is AI, artificial intelligence. And when it comes to AI, it's something I'm not terribly well versed on. Yes, I've had some experience. Absolutely, we've had loads of conversations about it on this show and we've heard the pros and cons and people's concerns. But it's something that I do want to know a little bit more about. And in particular, how it is going to shape our future. So this week here on Lunchtime Live, we are kicking off AI Week. And each day on the programme at this time, we are going to take a deep dive into the world of artificial intelligence. We're going to explore how it's shaping our lives, from the apps in our phones to the way that we work and interact with the world around us. So to demonstrate some of the things which AI is capable of, our very own technology correspondent Jess Kelly is with me in studio. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Not too bad. AI is something you know a lot about.
Yeah, but it's funny listening to you speak there because you know a lot about it as well. You just don't know that you know about it.
Yeah.
So you've been using artificial intelligence in a million and one different ways over the last 15 years and you've not thought about it.
I don't categorise it as AI.
It's just ingrained in your life. So for example, when you pick up your phone and you unlock it with your face, the Face ID technology, that's using elements of artificial intelligence.
Which I love.
You absolutely love. When you are planning a route, whether that is going home after the show or going on one of your adventures at the weekend and you're using your Google Maps, that's using artificial intelligence.
Couldn't live without it.
When you're waiting at the bus stop and you see
real-time
the times, all of this stuff is
technology. Mad when they don't have real time on the bus. So basically, I love AI is what I found out in the first 20 seconds of this.
Yeah, but I think that's the really important thing to stress here, because a lot of the conversations, and just to give people a bit of an explanation as to why, there's a company called OpenAI, and about 18 months ago, they unveiled ChatGPT, which is a large language model, in that it can scan the internet, you can feed data, you can ask it questions, and it presents the information in a very conversational way. That was a massive advancement in terms of how we humans interact with this technology. But this technology has been around for yonks. Mm. So a lot of the scary bits of it that are, you know, the headlines that you alluded to, like, we've been doing okay with AI for quite a while.
Yeah.
It's all about understanding how it works, how it can benefit you, and also the safeguards that you need to put on it. There are obviously ethical concerns and there are moral concerns and there's all of that stuff. But for the most part, like everything else in the world of tech, it's a tool that is there to enhance and augment what you're already doing.
Yeah, I suppose it is that kind of takeover concern is probably where a lot of people are coming from. You know, when they look at maybe the negatives or that around it. I know we'll talk about that in a few moments, but you've been looking at some of the ways that, like that, it can enhance our lives.
Yeah, I've been using it for the last number of months now. Small little things, like for example, you know the way I'd have to read like a lot of documents as part of my job, you know, if there's draft legislation or something like that, they could be like 250 pages. But what I've done is fed it into ChatGPT and said, summarise this in 10 bullet points. So we can scan the 250 pages and then it can give me digestible little inserts.
Do you, are you concerned about the accuracy though of those 10? But like, I mean, do you, like, would you tend to know enough about whatever the report is about? Do you know what I mean? Before, like, that's my experience of ChatGPT, is that it's there or thereabouts, but you need to know what you're talking about.
100%. I wouldn't bet my career or reputation on the results of it, but it is a really good starting point. So, for example, when it's a case of I'm feeding it data and I'm asking it to summarise the data, I would trust it more in that instance rather than me asking it to write what it thinks about.
Explain the whatever plan or program.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's trying to strike the balance and, again, understanding the parameters. Where it's brilliant, though, is as a creative tool. So I don't have a team. I work on my own quite a lot. I sit down. Sometimes you hit that 3 p.m. slump and your brain is exhausted. I can literally go into ChatGPT and I can ask for suggestions around consumer tech. I could ask it to write a snappy podcast title instead of my 25 word one that I've come up with. Mm. It's a really good brainstorming tool. And it is like having a personal assistant. But I found a way to help you with it.
Oh, great.
So I went into my ChatGPT and I asked it to write a script for Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan, requesting callers to get in touch with issues that matter to them.
Yeah.
You're ready
now? That sounds about right. Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
So ChatGPT suggests that you start with music that fades in and then fades out, which is good technical know-how.
Yeah.
And then it says, Andrea Gilligan, good afternoon and welcome to Lunchtime Live, where we dive into the topics that matter to you. I'm Andrea Gilligan, and we're here to talk about the issues that are shaping your world, from the big headlines to the stories in your own backyard. As always, we're opening the phone lines to hear your thoughts, questions and experiences. So what's on your mind today?
That's not bad.
And
I might take that for tomorrow.
Coffee and bake.
Yeah.
But it goes on and on and on. And it did it in about 7 seconds flat.
God.
So you know, if you come in and maybe you're not feeling a hundy pee and you're just like, do you know what? I couldn't sit down and type out words. You could just yell at ChatGPT and she could do it for you.
Yeah.
You're not into it?
No, I don't know. Like, I mean, it's handy, it's convenient, it's there.
Mm.
Kind of saves you the work a little bit.
It does. Now, where the debate crops up, and something that I've been thinking about quite a bit in relation to this, you have a lot of people who come on and share very emotive, very deeply personal.
Very personal stories, yeah.
And I don't know how you would feel or your callers would feel if your script and responses were drafted by ChatGPT.
I'd feel duped.
Yeah. And in the context of politics, for example, say if a minister is making a speech reflecting the impact of the housing crisis or the cost of living crisis, and they're trying to be deeply emotive, but again, you found out that it was written by ChatGPT, would you care? And it's these weirdly human scenarios.
Well, for instance, right? Like for instance, and just to be very clear, we're talking about this. This is purely an example to mention. But there's going to be a state apology tomorrow with relation to Stardust.
Yeah.
And I was listening to one of the victims' families on breakfast this morning about what they might like from that apology, like what content they would want included in that.
Mm.
Can you imagine if it ever... I'm not to say if anybody's just tuning in that in any way anybody from the government department or Taoiseach's office is going to ChatGPT that.
Mm.
But I think people would be... You know what I mean? In an instance like that, I think people would be disappointed in the event they thought or heard that, you know, the apology or the script
was produced by AI.
Yeah.
I think we are seeing instances of this discomfort. Now, nothing on that scale. But for example, there are an awful lot of companies that are now using it to draft emails. So I know of an instance of a HR company in the US that used ChatGPT to draft emails to tell people that they were being let go.
Wow.
And it's...
So after years of service, the best we can give you for all of your hard work, commitment, dedication and loyalty to our company is that we can't actually be arsed writing an email to tell you you're going to be fired ourselves, so we're going to get ChatGPT to
and do copy it. And paste it. Yeah. And I think it's that thing of embracing the technology but not losing the humanity and the empathy. And I think it's such a seesaw and it's a very difficult one to balance. But my key point here would be that this is absolutely a useful tool. And it's not just ChatGPT. There's Google's Gemini, and then on Friday of last week, Meta unveiled their version as well, which is called Llama 3. I don't know why they all have such dreadful names.
Yeah.
But there's a whole different one. So that's the instance of, say, writing your script or writing speeches or whatever. But say you're hosting a table quiz. I know you're fond of a little social gathering. If you wanted to do a table quiz or a bit of crack on a Friday night,
yeah, you might.
But you didn't want to make up 10 rounds of 10 questions.
Or you don't have an hour to do it.
Exactly. That's when this is the dream. Mm. And it's so handy. Or, you know, if you're like me and you're moving house at the moment, you can ask it to draft up the best plan and the order to pack things. So it told me the order to pack up my kitchen.
You didn't use that list I gave you.
I just wanted to double check and verify. To be fair, you weren't far wrong off ChatGPT.
Telling you. But see, there's the experience.
Always trust the robots. But so again, I am very, very fond of using this technology. But I just think you need to have the cop on to do it.
Yeah.
The other thing that really annoys me about
it. You need to be smarter than the tech.
You do. The other thing that really annoys me about it is I know quite a few people who would use it on, say, LinkedIn posts or social media posts. And everything is awesome all the time. And
they're, it's a bit American.
Oh, it's so American. Yeah. Nobody is that happy all the time. Like, nobody is that happy. And so it's just ensuring that you don't lose your identity and your own turns of phrase. But if you are looking for a PA, but you don't have the money or the notions to have a PA, I would absolutely tap into it.
It's your friend. We're going to be talking about this all this week here on Lunchtime Live, the impact of AI in our daily lives, how it can benefit us, the safeguards that we need. We're actually going to be talking about AI in the music industry tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which I think will be interesting.
It's such an interesting one. And we're seeing more and more artists becoming vocal, expressing their concerns about it. Mm. You know, last year there was an Oasis album created by AI. It had nothing to do with either of the Gallagher brothers or any member of Oasis, but it sounded exactly like an Oasis album. And so if you were an artist who spent years building your craft and refining it, it's scary.
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, those in the music industry, if you want to join us or get in touch with us about this tomorrow, the email's lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. We're going to be talking about the truth, the accuracy, the law around it on Wednesday. We're looking at its impact in your workplace and the work environment on Thursday. And really interesting, we're talking about AI and art on Friday.
This is a huge one. When I was in America last week with Kieran Cuddy on The Hard Shoulder, as I said, we were talking about Meta's AI, and Kieran put in to the Meta AI, create an image of an Irish radio presenter, and it was a man wearing headphones who'd had the bejesus beaten out of him because he was drunk.
Really?
Yeah. So,
wow.
Like, it can create these incredible images, but it's force-fed all of these stereotypes. So, look, I can't wait to hear all the different discussions because it's such a huge area.
Well, as Jess says, we're not using AI here at Lunchtime Live. I want your own personal stories and your life experience on the programme. It's 087 1400 106 if you want to drop me a voice note or a WhatsApp. Jess Kelly, News Talks tech correspondent, as always. Thanks a million for joining us here on the show.
Thank you.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.